Guys, but that James is a mix of Proverbs and the Sermon on the Mount. I think that is so true. That yes, it has a ton of practical wisdom. It has a ton of things that we should know in the way that the Christian life should look. But he gives the heart attitude behind it, much like the Sermon on the Mount does. And that's what we're going to continue to look at with this next passage here. But before we jump into that, I think it's important to remind ourselves. You can't remind yourself enough of this fact that James, when writing this book, assumes that the reader knows the gospel, has believed in the gospel, and understands that faith is not granted by works, but rather works is an outpouring of true biblical faith that we see in all of the other books and all the other parts there. It's easy to read through James and to see him attacking and pointing out these sinful things in our lives and to automatically build this list of do's and don'ts that we externally go and fix and think that we need to do it under our own power as we pull up our bootstraps and get to work. But that is not true. James is careful to point out that this change, these works need to happen from the inside out. One example of that is just one that Douglas alluded to is in James 4, 1-2, right at the top of the chapter. He says, "What causes quarrels and fights and causes fights among you?" And yes, quarrels and fights are bad things, and under our own power, we'll do all kinds of crazy things to avoid quarrels and fights. But in verse 2, he goes on, "You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel." He goes on to show us that it's not just that we're not fighting and quarreling, it's the covetousness and the hatred that we have in our heart towards other people is what causes those. So address this, and then we'll be able to fix this aspect of things. And he's going to continue to do it here. Now, fighting and quarreling and speaking evil, those are ones that are a little bit more obvious. You hear those, and we have the tendency to kind of think in the back of our mind, man, I'm glad so-and-so's here, because they really need to hear this, right? We've all been there. We've all thought that as pastors preaching, right? But the one that we're going to address here at the end of chapter 4 is much more subtle. In fact, the first verse, once you read that, you're going to think, man, he's talking about me. That's good. I can respect a person like that. And yet he's going to point out a heart attitude that I think is behind every other sin that we commit. And so let's go to the passage here today. Starting in verse 13 of chapter 4, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, I will go in such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and we will do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin." Here's the simple outline for today. The main idea, be careful on how pride shows up in your life. Be careful of how pride shows up in your life. We're going to see that through two ways. First, the instruction. James is going to give an instruction for them on how they ought to live their life. And then, number two, he's going to give the reasons why. He starts off with the instruction there in James 4:13. In James 14, he discusses a person that's like us. He discusses a person who has plans, has ambitions, is going to go out and do things. These are people that Dave probably loves to work with because they're motivated to go ahead and do things and they're working with business owners. You go into any interview today and what they're going to say, where do you see yourself in 5 years? What do you see yourself doing, right? Plans to be able to go out. He addresses these people who have plans to go out and to be able to accomplish a lot of different things. These are people that we like to be around. These are people that would describe us. And we start thinking, yes, what is he going to say about us? This will be good. And he throws a little perspective their way. He reminds us of life and the lack of control we truly have. He says, you don't even know what tomorrow will bring. You've got plans for years from now. You've got plans to do all of this. And once you accomplish that, that'll lead to this. And James reminds us, we don't even know what the next moment's going to bring. There's lots of things that could happen. We forget that we have a sovereign God who is in control of all things and who is orchestrating many events in our lives that will change the course of what's happening. pastor's quote this morning that, that we are so locked into our own agenda, we lose the time and the perspective to be able to share the gospel with others. That is true. He asks him, what is life? He comes down to, well, think about it. What is life but a mist? I was going to bring a spray bottle here and actually spray it. I've seen that analogy before, but you can picture in your mind. I forgot it. I was going to go back to the closet there, but I looked. I figured there'd be toxic chemicals and people would get hurt. So, so we'll just imagine you spray it, right? You could see the mist for just a second and it's gone. Life's short. The other analogy I've heard that is if you, I-75 goes north part of the country all the way down to the southern part of the country. You can take it from as far down, as far up, as far down as you can. And if that represents the span of the earth from beginning to end, and we were in Cedarville, so they picked this time, they picked this, this section there. The chance that it goes a mile on, in Dayton somewhere is where you're at. It's not very long in perspective of that whole entire stretch. So what does that mean? It causes us to think differently about what we do, about what we plan to do. Now some can see this and draw the conclusion, all right, it's bad to plan. I'm taking moment by moment. Whatever happens, happens. I got nothing in, you know, on the calendar. Well, that's not true, because the Lord tells us other places that we do need to be diligent about our schedules and time and wise and good stewards and things of that nature. But James points out a very specific difference here in verse 15. He says, if the Lord wills, I will do this and I will do that. We must remember, again, that we are serving a sovereign God and that all of our plans are tentative, based on the circumstances that come to our lives. And we need to be prepared to shift focus, to change course if need be. Plans are great. I love the saying that I tell us to teenagers all the time, you can't steer a ship that's not moving. But a ship needs to be ready to move if a rock's coming up in front of it. And so, we need to do that. So that's the instruction. All right. So not to remember that the Lord is in control and to remember the purpose of life, remember the big focus here, and to be able to make plans in light of eternity, make plans in light of a Lord, of a God who is going to have a purpose for you and wants you to go and make disciples and remember the things of Scripture. But here's the reason why. He points this out, this instruction to us. He doesn't want us just to do it to add a cliche. He doesn't want us to sound more spiritual. He doesn't want us to be able to, for whatever reason. But what he's pointing out to us is our pride. Verse 16 says, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. What is boasting? I think pride, but more specifically, arrogance and boasting and cockiness, all these words get jumbled up in our heads in America. And I'm around it all the time within the realm of athletics. But what do they really mean? So I sat down and I looked them up. And I'm boasting, according to dictionary.com, is talk with excessive pride and self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, and ability. When you look up in the Greek lexicon, it says to act of the act of taking or expressing pride in something, the object that is pride. What is arrogance, according to the definitions? False pride. Having pride in something that is not truly something you should have pride in. So pride itself is not necessarily a bad thing if you can claim to be able to have that which you are bragging about. Boasting is not necessarily a bad thing if you can claim that, but the problem is none of us have control over our own lives. So therefore, when we make plans, therefore, when we act like we are controlling that, we are taking something that we do not have control in and boasting about it and having an arrogance about that we have control over this. It reveals pride. And it really gets down to the very simple question we ask Carson probably every day. Who's the boss? Because when he's throwing a fit, when he's commanding, he's getting to the point now where he's telling people he's the boss of people. But, because we ask him this so much, but who's the boss? And we simply say, he says, mommy and daddy are. That's a picture of the way we are to Christ. Who's the boss? Are we busy telling God how we're going to run this life? Are we busy telling him what's best for us? Or are we going to submit to him and realize he's the boss? James calls this type of thinking evil, sinful. And then he reminds, he drops this little nugget in here, and we don't have time to explore it completely, but I love that he drops this in here right at the end of the end of this, and it's something that we could read through and pass by real quick. But he says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. Now, what does that mean? Wrestled with that a little bit. He's pointing us right back to James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. Remember, the actions are a revealer of the heart. We are not after outward appearances of not sinning. Rather, we're after of a change of heart that has been made clean, that is being sanctified by the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. And that is what James is after here. He wants to see people's hearts change to be able to rid pride from their lives and they can submit to a holy God. So what does that mean for us? One, how does pride show up in your life? Where are those little places that pride shows up? I would have never have thought of this on my own, of me making plans and orchestrating things, my schedule and things. How else does pride show up in your life? Number two, what are some disciplines that you can add to your routine to help remind you of your need to submit to the Lord? What are some things that you can add in on a daily basis, whether it's a verse to memorize, whether it's a preaching the gospel to you daily? C.J. Mahaney is great about explaining that process and being able to see the importance of that. But what is it that you can add to your life to help remember that you serve a big God, and when we humbly submit ourselves under Him, that is when we have true joy, peace, satisfaction, all of these things. And we're not just not sinning. We're doing good as He has commanded us to. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You so much for Your word. We thank You for the opportunity that we have to gather together as a body of believers to be able to hear from the Scriptures and to be able to hear truth spoken. And I pray that You would just allow the Spirit to go to work in our lives, Lord. I pray that we would have soft hearts and that we would truly be convicted and think through the ways that pride has infiltrated all of our thinking and our decisions and be able to rid that pride with submission to a holy God. And Lord, help us to do that more and more this week. I ask in Your precious name. Amen.